we've got to learn to serve really well. You got me on there? I'm not muted. All right. I'll try not to say too much. Am I getting, got a readout back there? Got a signal. Now let's see if we can get it out there. Hey, there, I can hear myself now. We've got to learn to serve really well. From that video and the song, you can see what's at stake. Can't you? That girl, her dad served himself, not her. In the song, we see how much they want to be and will be just like us. And if that doesn't put everything into perspective, I don't know what does. So let's talk. We are in the middle of a series called Improving Your Serve. Well, why? Well, there's a principle that's out there. It's called the Pareto Principle. Anybody heard of the Pareto Principle? Well, that holds really true in church. I'm sure you've heard about it, even if not by that name, but the 80-20 rule. Heard of that? Well, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. That's true in a lot of ways. The thing is, it's not a law. It's just a reflection of reality. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way in our families, in our church, in our communities, that 20% of the people are doing all the work. So that's why we need to talk about serving. Because frankly, as a church, you know, we can't do the things that God has called us to do if only 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Can I get an amen on that? All right. So I sit before you today because amongst the pastoral staff, as Pastor Kevin said earlier, I'm the one with the 7 kids. So apparently that makes me the biggest expert on this subject. What it really means is that I was on vacation when they decided who should preach today. And you know, just like anything else, you get volunteered for stuff when you're not there, right? So, I can just hear it. You know, let's get Mikey. He'll teach on serving the family. He'll teach anything. Hey, Mikey. That's about how I figure it went, you know. Or it's because I actually, you know, for the first time in 15 years, took 2 Sundays off in a row to go on vacation, so they were just trying to get back at me. One way or the other, something was in there. I'm just not sure of their motivation totally. So let's talk about serving our family. Jesus, by word and his own example, made serving one of the great spiritual laws. And in so doing, he showed us the Father's heart. Now, there are a lot of examples and lessons related to serving in the Scriptures. We can look at it from a lot of angles. Today we want to look at it by looking at the Father's heart. Okay? In other words, using scripture and illustrations to show how a father relates to and serves his children. Now I want to show you that a true father's heart is the heart of a servant, because the Father's heart is the heart of a servant. Now, I'm not saying that we should treat God like a servant. Let's not go there. Because God is the ultimate master, and no servant is greater than his master. But Jesus said quite clearly that to be the master of all, you must be the servant of all. So God, as master of all, really must, in his own character, in his own personality, he must really be the best servant of them all. Now, we don't see God that way. Because, I mean, that's a real contradiction to the human mind and how we've understood who God is. But it's really all about heart and motives. So I realize this concept might be a stretch for some of us. Certainly to those of us who've grown up with the idea that, you know, God's the God with a baseball bat, ready to pounce on us if we do something wrong. That God certainly is not our picture of a servant God and the one that Jesus revealed to us. So I know a lot of people who've had to work a long time on their relationship with God to get over, you know, that kind of idea of who God is. But I'd also submit that besides those people, those of us who pride ourselves in recognizing that God is our daddy, you know, the Greek word in the Bible is Abba, who wants to have a relationship with us and would never swing a bat, we also strain at seeing God as a servant. All right? As a worship leader, I've been in the middle of this, you know, for a long time. We're called and commanded to worship God. So we do. We begin singing praises because we want to and because we're supposed to. But somewhere we lose the want to and we just hold on to the supposed to, and all of a sudden God becomes this powerful being who is demanding our worship. So we see God as a narcissist. You know, it's all about Him and not as a servant God. It reminds me of this science fiction TV show that just ended its run on cable, Stargate, if anybody knows about it. The storyline in the final couple of seasons revolved around these alien beings who had ascended into spirit beings, you know, taking off of real spiritual things and perverting them. And they fed on the energy created by forcing the rest of the universe to worship them. Okay, so that they were getting energy from worship. And if you wouldn't worship, you were killed. It's kind of the same idea as Disney's Monsters, Inc., where, you know, they were storing screams as energy, you know. But neither of those examples are our God. He doesn't need our worship to pump Him up any more than He needs our money when He tells us to give. He tells us to worship and to give because of the deeper truths behind those things. Among other things, for example, giving activates the law of sowing and reaping, and He wants us to benefit from that. Worshiping God puts into motion the seek ye first principle in Matthew 6:33, that results in all these things will be given. Because God knows that every one of us will worship something. We will seek something first. And whatever we seek first and the most and the best is what we're going to get our benefit from. And a lot of times those things, well, every time those things are not as pure, are not as good for us in the short run and in the long run as the things God has in mind for us. Does that make sense? I mean, He is completely about our good. And other things that look good may not be. So what does all this mean? Well, we could dig into those principles that we've just talked about for hours, but that's a kind of a different message. What I want you to see is in these examples of worship and giving, God is instructing us to an end that we don't always see or understand for our own good, just like an earthly father should do. So we get it now, the parallels there? I believe that is the essence of the Father's heart and the essence of serving our families. Doing things and doing everything for their good. All right? Now, the things that we do aren't always going to be recognized as being for their good. My kids don't always think that the things that I'm doing for them are for their good or for their benefit. You know, chores, you know, they don't see any good in that. They don't see that they're learning to serve. But you do these things anyway. And eventually, hopefully, they get it. That's our goal. Now let's kind of put all this in perspective again by reading Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. I think it really shows what I'm talking about really well. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. All right? Now, I believe it's very accurate to replace that word love with serve. You know, serve like that. How Jesus served us. How God serves us, love and serve. You know, it's the same thing. If you're familiar with the book, The Five Love Languages, you'll recognize that serving is one of the love languages. So, you know, it's all the same. So this is the spiritual insight, you know, that I wanted to make sure you can get. You know, as I was preparing for this, you know, we're going to talk about some practical things, but, you know, I really want people to go away with a nugget of understanding God a little better than they did before, besides having, you know, some good practical things that we want to do. But this is the insight that I really wanted you to get, that to love is to serve. To serve is to love. God never does anything out of a selfish interest or motive. Think about that for a second. You know, we just don't think of God that way. We see Him as God. Now, we see Jesus that way. You know, that He was all about, you know, doing things for everybody. But we don't see God that way. But God is our Father. God is the Father God. He's the example. And so we often develop a different idea of what constitutes fatherhood. It ends up being this thing on a pedestal sometimes, that I'm the dad, I'm in charge here, and you're here to serve me. It can become that way. But Jesus said in John 5:19, I only do what I see the Father doing. So He had to have learned serving from His Father. Let's look at that scripture now, because I want to quote it right. Do you have it up there now? Yeah, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus learned serving from His Father. So this scripture, you know, we see a lot of things in here. It once again, it brings back that point. You know, what we do, they will do as a father. But it really, you know, excites me, because I see the Father God not as, you know, this guy who's demanding things from me, but who wants my good. And that is an awesome thing to know. Now let's go ahead and get practical for a minute. What kind of things can we do to convey the Father's heart in our lives and in reality and in our world? And you notice I'm saying the Father's heart now, because this is not a father's only thing. Okay, this is not a guy's only thing. Those of you who aren't married, you no longer have permission to tune this out. Ladies, you can't just tune this out. I'm not just talking to the guys. Okay, this is not a guy saying the Father's heart. You know, women, for the most part in our society, have understood the Father's heart, because it's been a role that's been put on them. But a lot of times the guys haven't. But this applies to everybody. So the first practical thing that we're going to talk about is that I believe we need to be role models of service in our families. You know, that's not a real hard thing to realize. But this is how we can become or provide a moral compass to our kids. And like Jesus said after he washed His disciples' feet, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. So this idea of being a role model, well, it's full of challenges to having a serving heart, because we have to live it, and things are pulling against us in a lot of different ways. Our own ideas, our own wants, and all of society. So let's look at the things we can do through the lens of the challenges that we face in doing them. The biggest challenge? Work. You know, now, wait a second. You know, if I heard somebody say that, I would want to shout, but working is serving my family. And I've kind of done that before. I've had to, hey, wait a second. I have to work so that we can put food on the table. That is serving, you know. And I agree. You know, work counts. So now, you know, you feel free to lean over to the person you're with and tell them, work counts. Okay. So now just getting to hear that and say that probably is worth the price of admission to half of you. So I guess we can go home now. But wait. You knew there was a but coming, didn't you? It's all about balance. When you ride a bike, and I thought about this as I was riding my scooter that I just got. I just love it. But, you know, if you shift your weight, you know, it's even more obvious with a motorized transportation than it is with a bicycle. But if you shift a little bit, you turn. And that's how you turn. I mean, it's mostly just a little bit of a shift of your weight. If you shift too much, you get too far out of balance. Guess what? You tip, you fall over. That's what balance is about in our lives. We've got to be able to balance everything that we do. And in this case, balance means you have got to make time for your family. If you work too much, then you can't serve your kids with your presence at their events. You've got to go to their events, their activities, their games, their sports. No one can take your place as a parent in their life. You've got to be there. If you work too much, then you can't serve your kids spiritually. Do devotional studies with them. We need to do that. There are so many good things available through the church, through the bookstores, and what have you. Great ways of doing devotions with our kids. Just a couple of ideas of how to serve them. If you work too much, then you can't serve them dinner. In other words, spend time around the dinner table. If you're always working late, that's the first one that goes, because that is the one that comes right after work, is that dinner time. And it's something we've really, really lost in our society, is those types of times where kids can see us interacting as a family in a way where we need to serve each other. I mean, just simply passing food, it has become a lost art of serving somebody by passing food to them. I just can't believe it, how much that used to be a normal standard thing, where each one would pass the food around. Now, if my kids are in a place where that's appropriate, food just sits there. They take what they want, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's like, pass the food, you know? We've got to learn that serving attitude, and those kind of things are lost. Now, we just got back from vacation, as I mentioned earlier. And while we were at my uncle's cabin by the lake, I did most of the cooking, which, I usually do in that kind of setting. It was an opportunity to serve my family. And what's interesting, my dad and his wife showed up. They live in Costa Rica. And we kind of timed this. They were coming to the country for a family reunion that was going on yesterday. We couldn't make it to. But they joined us for the end of our stay at my uncle's cabin. And she is from Costa Rica. Okay, he married her after he moved down there after my mom passed away. And how I was behaving or acting or what things I was doing were quite shocking to her. Her name's Argy. I tried to actually have them send us a little video or audio tape of what she told me after this, but it didn't work out. So I'm going to try to relate the story of what she said as best as I can. I was cooking. It was lunchtime. I was getting food ready for the kids and everybody. Basically, find out what everybody wanted and making them sandwiches or whatever it was I was doing. And she said, and through my dad, she doesn't speak any English, so she's trying to learn, but not very hard. About how hard Dan is trying to learn Spanish wherever he is. My dad interpreted it, and she said, "Michael, you are just such an awesome father. I just can't believe how you're serving your kids, how you're loving them, how the things that you're doing for them and for everyone. You are such a great example." And, all this is like, it's hard to receive something like that as somebody saying stuff like that. So I'm thinking of, all this, you have no idea, But what I did say to her, my first thought is, I said, now this is my flippant answer, is that my wife trained me well. But really what it did is, what I mentioned is that, and it takes us to our next point, is that in her, the culture she comes from, men do not do that. Men do not serve their families in the home. It's just not part of that culture. And that is our next point, is that our culture really is a challenge for us to serve. And it's not just that Spanish culture, it's true, you know, here as well. We work all day. We deserve to come home and plop in front of the TV and grab the remote and have everybody, that's that picture of, put my feet up and, honey, come, bring me my slippers and my newspaper and all that. You know, that is every bit as much part of the American culture as it is, culture that she comes from. And, that idea of being self-serving is built into our culture. And it's now so deeply ingrained in the me generation that our children expect to have it your way and now. That's where we are. That's where we're at. Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." Ouch. We have no choice but to work extra hard to overcome that mindset and tendency in our homes. We've got to overcome our culture. Now, in some certain things, in church, we try to adapt to the culture to try to bring people in. There are definitely areas where we have to say, this is where we need to overcome the culture. Because we can't have that culture become part of our lives and part of our homes. We've got to serve, and we've got to develop a serving culture in our families. Okay? We've got to find ways to serve that go beyond, I work, so I serve, and other traditional ways that we serve. We model that by serving our families and by serving others in front of them so that they develop the value for themselves. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He served them. And he fed, taught, and healed the multitudes in front of the disciples. Why? That they might do likewise. That's what Jesus did. And that is our goal in serving our families. We do these things that they might do likewise. Because guess what? They are going to do likewise. If we're sitting in front of the couch, when they grow up, they're going to do likewise. If we are demanding everything from them, guess what? They are going to do likewise. And is that what we want? I don't. So those are two biggies. Let me quickly touch on a couple of other challenges that I think are kind of provocative and kind of interesting, and that may get me in trouble because, now I'm doing a little bit of meddling. Okay. Friendships. Adult friendships, especially, I'm talking about right now. There was a good example in that video. Did you hear the girl say, even when I did see my dad, the times that I came to see him were times that he'd use the excuse to go off with his friends. Ouch. Our friendships can become between us and serving our families and being good parents. This is where how you prioritize comes into play. That young girl who was estranged from her father, how often, are we doing things like that? So we need to analyze our priorities and take a good look at how much time is left over. If our friends come before our families, we're in trouble. So I'll move along on from that one. I think that's kind of clear. And then the ouchiest one. I had to think of ways of putting this to make it the most palatable to us so that you didn't shoot me. But I wanted to title this The Needy Spouse. But let's just call it needy people in general. These are different from your friendships. These are most likely going to be relatives. People that, friendships, you can say, I don't have time for you. I can push you off to the side a little bit more. But your relations, people who you feel a responsibility to, who are very needy of your time, you can't always just totally say, get away from me. And as I said, the worst example of this can even be your spouse. All right? So this is kind of the flip side of last week's message on serving your spouse. Because it's possible to take that priority of my relationship with God first, my relationship with my spouse next, and then not have any time left for any other relationships. Because you might have a spouse that needs all of that time. And it takes all that and demands all that time from you. So then you don't get to have that positive serving influence on your kids. And instead you actually become the model of just the opposite of what you want. You don't have time for them, and then they blame the parent that's demanding all the attention. So talk about unintended consequences. What you've got to do is establish some boundaries in these situations. Even if your time together is good, you know, too much of a good thing can make you sick. You know, and this, I mean, it's not just, you know, let's look at some other relationships like this, dating relationships. It can also apply to that. You know, you want to be with them all the time. Oh, man. So much so that there's no time to serve the other relationships in your life. What's wrong with that? Well, one relationship may be the most important, but trust me, there will be times when we need other people, other influences. We're not meant to be isolated with just, you know, one person, one relationship in our lives. If we burn those bridges by not cultivating those relationships, our outlook on life will become twisted. Now, and so, you know, that also brings a point. This can also be a needy parent. All right, which reminds me of another movie, The Water Boy. You know, remember Bobby Boucher and his mama? You know, she didn't want him spending time with anybody else but her. You know, so his understanding of the world came completely from her. Now, when he broke away enough, was drawn away to go to college, well, in all his college classes, his responses to questions about everything in life always started out with, well, my mama said... And they were always finished up with something off the wall. Now, it makes good comedy. And it was very funny. You know, what's one example? Why is an alligator aggressive? Well, Mama said something about, you know, forgot to brush his teeth in the morning or something weird like that. And he learned about the medulla oblongata from that. But so his response was always off the wall. Good comedy, bad reality. Okay, because that can, you know, maybe not to that extreme, but those types of relationships can really, you know, threaten our ability to be balanced in our lives. Now, there are plenty of other challenges, I'm sure, but these four were the ones that I thought, you know, covered a lot of ground. Okay, so the second thing we need to do to serve our families is by training our children to serve. You know, none of these are that, you know... Wow, I've never heard of that before. But they're obvious but important to hear. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not turn from it. Like I said before, you know, it doesn't always seem to be that way in the meantime, but it's that when he is old, and I'm seeing that from my older kids, you know. There's times in their lives that, you know, we've really wondered if the things we were training them were gonna pull in fruition. And I know Kevin's been in that same situation, which is why he has no hair. You know? So, because, you know, we go through that period where we're tearing out our hair. Now, you know, I can't tell you that after you find out that it's all going to work out right, that it'll come back. I wish I could tell you that. Because it doesn't. Well, but that's what they make other things for. So, the best way to serve someone, I believe, is to teach them to serve. Now, I can plug a lot of things into that equation. You know, the best way to minister in church, to minister to people, is to teach them to minister to other people, to get them outside of themselves. The best way to serve someone is to get them outside of themselves and their needs by serving other people. That is the first thing that I want to do with my kids in serving them, is to teach them that serving is something you do for somebody else. So as parents of several kids, you know, we've tried a lot of different ways to get our kids to want to do the right things and not just to do them. Now, that's the challenge, and that's hard. When it's all said and done, the proof, like I said, is in the pudding. What kind of adults do they become? Are they givers, servers, and lovers? Or are they selfish, self-serving, and egocentric? It really depends on what we have, you know, deposited in them, whether that's going to be the case. Now, for example, we've used and created a variety of incentive programs to require and reward service in the home. And after this much time, I'd have to say that the results are mixed. For the most part, the chores eventually, emphasis on eventually, I guess, have ended up getting done. But it hasn't always resulted in or been with the heart attitude that we really want. And that's not what has always been developed. And sometimes, instead, it has created an expectation of reward for things that we want them to do out of a desire to, to bless people, to bless the family, to be a part of the family, to contribute to the family. So that's why I'm convinced that incentives alone are not enough. We can't just put together a program and have it turn out to be everything we want. And that's where teaching comes in. And especially teaching the biblical concepts of serving that we're talking about during this series. There's going to be some really excellent things that we can apply to our lives in a lot of ways. So putting all these things together is the best. It's incentives with teaching, all the while modeling the correct behavior, the proper behavior, what we want. Put things together and you've got something. Teach them what Jesus would do. Don't let them be helpless, lazy, and dependent. Don't wait on them hand and foot. But also, don't make them wait on you either, because then you're modeling the wrong thing. So, you know, these things have to work together. It's just like, you know, just like the heart of God. God is both the master of all, and the servant of all. How do these things go together? It's a reality of life that all these things go to. I've got to be the dad, but I've got to be the servant. The kids have to learn both things. They got to learn the whole picture, and you know, that's confusing. That's difficult. We've got to reward the proper behavior. You know, I wish I could say this was simple, and I'm not here to give you a magic formula. But you've got to do what you know, and learn how to do more. You got to mix it with faith and prayer, and most of all, patience. And that's where I get back to the thought. They may not seem to get it right away, but eventually, and that's what you got to hold on to. Okay, so the final way that we can improve our serve with our family is to provide them opportunities to serve. Let's have the band come up now and get ready for what we're going to do next, if we could. Prepare them or provide them opportunities to serve. So we've already talked about opportunities in the home. That would be the first place that you can provide opportunities. Because that's the training ground. But there are two other places. I'm not going to spend much time on them because each one of them is a topic of its own for the next couple of weeks. The first one being church. You know, find ways for the whole family to serve in church. There's so many ways that everyone can participate. You know, even the youngest kids can serve in some way. I mean, we've got kids, Heather's kids, for example, it just brightens my day when they help pass out bulletins. And some other kids do the same thing. It's cute. It's not only cute, it's serving. It's an example of serving. It's teaching them to serve. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be formal. But it can be. I mean, we use junior high helpers in the nursery, etc. I mean, and we need help in so many areas. I mean, I can speak for the worship arts ministry. We need help. You know, I got my platform up here to talk about it a little bit, you know. I mean, there is something for everyone to do if you just make yourself and your family available and that you realize that it's not about serve us. It's about service. And, you know, that's the heart attitude that, you know, I'm really trying to convey today and get us all to understand. And then there's the community, okay? Now, I've talked about not being self-serving. It's just as important for us as a church not to become self-serving, or we contradict everything that Jesus taught us about loving and serving. We need to serve the community. You can do that here through the church, or simply in your neighborhood, or at work, or wherever you are. You can serve. And in so doing, you will show the love of Jesus and the heart of the Father far more effectively than anything you can say or preach. Or I could put that in the words attributed to Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. So as we close, I want you to listen to this song, and I want us to search our hearts for those self-serving tendencies. I want us to, you know, come before God and say, hey, you know, I am a selfish person. That's part of my nature. But I want the heart of the Father to be a father, to be a father-like one, as a man, as a woman, as a kid, as an old person, you know, whatever. I want that heart to be in me, not the selfish, self-serving nature that comes so naturally. So let's listen to this song and meditate on that line. And you know, the ushers, we'll have the ushers go ahead and pick up the Discover cards while I do it, but you know, don't be distracted by that as you're meditating on what we just talked about. Go ahead, Scott.